Welcome back to the Motherhood Kit, your go-to resource for all things mothering. Today, we're diving into a hot topic, safeguarding our kids from common summer illnesses. As the temperature rises and outdoor adventures call us, it's essential to arm yourself with knowledge and strategies to keep your little ones healthy and happy all season long. In today's episode, we'll sit with Jennifer Boyd, and together we'll explore everything related from common illnesses to expect in the summer, heat-related illness and how to prevent them, sunburn, insect bites, and we'll even discuss what you should have in your summer medicine toolkit. Stay tuned as we unpack expert tips and actionable advice to help you navigate the summer months with confidence and peace of mind. Hi. And welcome to the Motherhood Kit. I'm your host, Yamel Belen, a registered nurse, doula, lactation expert, business owner, and most importantly, a proud mom of five. Join in weekly as I share my wisdom and dive deep with parenting experts to empower you with your very own toolkit. From prenatal excitement to the real, raw, sometimes harrowing, and often hilarious sides of mothering. So whether you're seeking guidance, camaraderie, or just want to lighten your load with loads of laughs, the Motherhood Kit is your safe space to connect, learn, and thrive. Let's dive in. Hi, Jennifer. Welcome to the Motherhood Kit podcast.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here.
Likewise, before we get into this really important conversation, can you tell our listeners a little bit about your background and your practice model?
Yes. So my name is Jennifer Boyd, and I founded House Calls for Kids, which is a pediatric concierge practice without a membership model that families can utilize when they need us in the moment when things happen. So we allow for really accessible care. You can text us directly, call directly, and we're there within a half an hour. So just trying to keep it easy for families when sickness strikes, illness, injury, or just well visits too. And we started about 3.5 years ago in December 2020 and just continuing to grow, which has been wonderful.
Congratulations. And when you say we're there within 30 minutes, I want our listeners to understand this because a lot of times people are not familiar that these services even exist. I just coordinated for a client this week. I coordinated a at-home massage and she was like, somebody can come to me. And I'm like, yes, yeah. Girl, anything where someone can come to me is such a game changer now in my life. So you go directly to your clients, correct?
That's correct. And even if it's going to them directly via text, video, or phone call within minutes, you know, it just sort of cuts out the waiting game of, am I going to get a call back by the end of the business day from my doctor? Or am I going to get help now? Or is my visit going to be in 3 days? You know, so just sort of like eliminating that waiting period, which is hard when you're uncertain what to do when your kid's sick or hurt.
Yeah, I changed up this for us a few years ago because as, you know, a busy mom, I have a business. It was just so daunting to me to sit in an office, like to sit in a waiting room. Your appointment is at 1:30. You never really get in at 1:30. I was having to make major changes in our schedule. So we are part of a similar practice, which the girls, my little girls really enjoy. My older kids already, they go to the doctor by themselves, basically. But I love this for the families that you serve. And I know that this is really important work. So I'm so happy to have you on and for everyone to learn a little bit more about you. So I thought of this episode because when fall comes upon us, so the season fall, everybody's getting prepared. We're getting prepared for potential flu. Of course, now we're very COVID educated. We are buying Tylenol and, you know, potential cold medicine and so on and so forth. But the summer, I feel that we're so excited about summer that we're not even thinking that there's a potential of illness. We don't even want to think about it. But there is. There are very high chances of illnesses. So that's when this episode came to life behind the scenes. So let's talk about, just give us a brief overview of some common illnesses that you see in the practice in the summertime.
Yeah, what's interesting about the summer is it is a completely different bag of things that families need to be worried about or prepared for. You know, and of course, flu, strep, colds, they're year round, you know, essentially, but in a smaller number. So we're not going to see as much influenza or traditional flu, not as much strep as we move into the summer as we do in the winter and early spring. But what does that mean? So now we're moving into more of gastroenteritis or stomach flus. We're going to see a lot more of diarrhea type illnesses or vomiting and stomach bugs. So in that event, just being prepared to keep our kiddos hydrated is really important. So I like to always tell families as part of your like first aid kit to have electrolytes stored away at home, meaning like Pedialyte or Kinderlite or something that you have a plan, IV liquid packets, the things that we can put into waters in the event that we have a stomach flu. I like to keep those in my travel first aid kit, the little packets of electrolytes for my kids in case they need them. So that's one thing you can have to be prepared for a stomach bug that might hit your house. And then sort of understanding what are the signs of dehydration is really important in the summertime too, to kind of go along with that is that, okay, is my child too sleepy? What does dehydrated look like? We're not making tears when we cry. Our mouths are really dry. Our lips are maybe cracked or chapped. Maybe we're not using the restroom enough or not enough wet diapers. You know, we want to aim for 3 bathroom trips or wet diapers in a 24-hour period. So if we start to see those things kind of tapering down, then just knowing as a parent, we got to really start increasing our hydration. And the sooner you start doing that, the better. So if you notice the stomach bug coming on, trying slow, small sips to get that hydration back up is really important.
And we always have water bottles around. The girls have like their little Stanley cups, which are so cute. But we even have other metal bottles. But I'm always like, especially if we're out sitting by the pool, I make sure like, okay, everybody grab your bottles before we go out to the pool. So I think that's a good little practice for the moms listening to keep in mind. Just like having them. I think about our moms in labor. When I go to a labor, I'm always telling our moms, I want you to take a sip after every contraction. So our kids walking around, running around, they're perspiring too.
Right.
So I always encourage my 10 and 8-year-olds, okay, you guys were bouncing around, come and take some sips really quick to kind of be ahead of the game because kids can become dehydrated pretty quickly, correct?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I think that that's one of the key things, especially when we're running around sweating. Even when you're swimming, you're losing fluid. You don't even realize it.
Yeah.
You're exercising. Even though you're in water, you can get dehydrated. So having that baseline well-hydrated status will help you in the event that illness strikes. So it is a really important thing to kind of encourage those fluids all summer.
I'm glad that you mentioned swimming because my fear every summer, because again, my little girls are they're fishes. They just want to be in the pool all day, every day. And last year we actually had a pool remodel. So we were in the pool and they were super bummed out. So I know this year they're just going to just be all over the place. Towels everywhere. But one of the things that I always worry about because I've experienced it in the past is swimmer's ear. So can you talk to us about that? Because I'm always unsure if I'm doing it right with the preventative drops of solution for swimmer's ear. So let's talk about that and what that looks like.
So what's interesting is there are some people, and I'm sure it has to do with physiologically how our ears are made. You know, what is the canal shaped like? How narrow is it that we maybe trap water in our ears differently than the next person? So if you know that your little one is prone to ear infections, especially from swimming, that you want to use the swimmer's ear drops that actually have a little hydrogen peroxide, they help dry out, or alcohol that dries out the canal so that the water's not sitting in there. Because really it's the fluid that's in there just hanging out from swimming, and bacteria and then fungus and things can grow in that fluid that's trapped in your canal. It's dark and warm and moist and all the things where bacteria and funguses like to develop. So that is one thing that can help. Or if it's a really big issue, then earplugs, you know, is always a good idea too. You can do those. Your kids might not like that, but that would be another option as well.
And you can use these and you can make your own kind of like DIY solution, but you can add these drops before they even start swimming, correct?
Yes, or afterwards too, to dry them out from the fluid, the pool water being in the ear.
And that's something to keep in mind when you're going to maybe a pool that's a public pool or maybe a friend's pool. You don't know if it was treated properly with all the chemicals. So really being mindful to do those drops after swimming can be a simple intervention for prevention. Yes. you won't have to place a call out to Jennifer or her team because it's so painful. I feel like swimmer's ear was even more traumatic than a full blown ear infection. My girls were just like in agony. So I never want to experience that again. So I'm preparing myself.
You know, and one of the things that looks different in swimmer's ear is pain with like movement of the ear itself. So it's very sensitive, like when you press over this area of the ear right in front of where the ear canal is, and then just wiggling on the ear itself causes a lot of pain. They might also complain of pain with chewing, and it hurts to eat because it causes movement to the ear canal. And that's one of those other things that makes it a little bit different.
Yeah, that's really insightful. So another thing that I know a lot of us are getting prepared for, and we just had a podcast episode, which I'll link as well, related to summer camps. And I feel that, yes, I know our kids are exposed right now. They're with friends at school and different programs, but I feel like summer camps lends itself to a different level of exposure as well, as far as potential illnesses. So what would you say, Jennifer, are some ways or some things to keep in mind when sending our kids off for summer camp? So when I've done it in the past, I make sure that if there's outdoor activities, I'm packing loads of sunscreen and talking to my girls about reapplying. Of course, hydration. But what are some other things that we should be keeping in mind with our little ones that are going to summer camps?
So if you imagine heading off to summer camp is almost like putting our kids in a new school classroom environment where we're around
so
new, you know, so we may not have the same contacts in our regular classroom when we're around a new group of people. So some of the things that you could, I think what you said there is great. Having the kids be prepared to reapply sunscreen is so important because you cannot count on the teachers or the camp counselors to reapply for them, unfortunately. You know, you just can't. So I think that that is a really great tip. And then just really advising your kiddos when they're old enough to wash their hands often and, you know, to just to stay as clean as they can. But let's talk, you know, say for little ones that can't do that because toddlers and elementary school kids are in these camp situations as well. You know, some of the common things we see spread this time of year amongst that group of people, pink eye, we're going to see a lot more of that going around.
And why are the illnesses such as pink eye, and you mentioned in the beginning GI over the summer, like GI illnesses, which I do.
Yeah.
I feel like all my friends, when we're talking, it's like, yeah, somebody's throwing up again. Yeah. So why are those things more prominent over the summer? Is it just the heat? What is that?
Yeah, I think that there's just seasonally, we see certain bacteria that has a stronger growth in the summertime than it does in the off season, which would be winter.
Gotcha.
So that means we see more enterovirus, which causes hand, foot, and mouth. It causes the stomach flu in some people. So there's more hand, foot, and mouth cases going on during the summer. We also see more impetigo, which is a skin infection from staph on our skin. So we see, and strep. So we see less strep throat, but we're seeing more impetigo or bacterial skin infections popping up. And that partly has to do with sweating and the warmth on our skin and things like that, that kind of encourage bacterial growth and overgrowth. So all of those things caught early enough are better.
That's so true. So we have to be on the lookout. So for example, what are some recommendations that you would do? So for me, whenever the girls have gone to a camp, which mainly they're interested in like art camps and things like that. And I love that you pointed out where we're exposing them to a whole new group of kids that are coming with their own, you know, pre-exposure. But when they do come home, I kind of like change them out of the clothes that they went to camp in, hand washing. So I know that all our kids are loving these hand sanitizers, these cute little sprays.
Right.
But if there is water and soap around, I am encouraging my kids to do hand washing. So what are some other things that you would say that we should do once they're coming back from these places where they're exposed to additional kids? Hi, moms. We know you are fiercely navigating the busy world of mothering. The Motherhood Kit podcast has got your back. This episode is proudly sponsored by One Love Nanny Services, reshaping childcare in Tampa Bay with a personal touch. Imagine tailored, exceptional childcare without the hassle. One Love Nanny understands the demands of your fast-paced life. we offer time-saving, customized nanny matching services and convenient babysitting memberships. Elevate your childcare experience with precision and care. Visit onelovenanny.com today because every family deserves exceptional support.
I love that. And I love that you mentioned washing hands with soap and water.
Yes.
Because some of these germs that cause stomach flus, hand sanitizer does not work. So you have to encourage actual soap and water. And, you know, we've gotten used to using hand sanitizer because it's so convenient and easy, and COVID kind of encouraged that, but it's really just not quite as good. So I love what you're saying there, encouraging them to wash their hands with soap and water, especially when they get home. Switching up the clothes is great because you don't know what's living on their clothes now from playing, whatever environment they were in. Leaving shoes at the door, not tracking in germs from their shoes that we're also picking up along the way is another good thing that you can do. And then thinking about just really like if they're sending a lunchbox to these camps, you know, maybe like washing the actual lunchbox more often than letting germs and bacteria grow on that, you know, from the table space is another good call too.
Yes, taking off the shoes is huge in my house. I feel like I'm always yelling at everybody, like, take off your shoes. But they just stroll in with these dirty shoes that they've been everywhere. But yes, hand washing is huge. And what I do, and this could be like an extra tip, because I know sometimes we're doing extra day trips too with our kids. Maybe now we have time to go to the zoo because they're not in school, or we're going to several different places. So anywhere, a pro tip that I do is like anywhere that there is soap and water, I'm like, oh, let's stop. Let's wash our. And they're like, I didn't use the bathroom, or my hands are not dirty. And I'm like, they're not. You can't see it with your naked eye, but your hands are dirty. You've been touching things. And that also encourages them to do it when we're not around. It's all about modeling, of course.
Yeah. And good habit formation. So I think that that's wonderful.
So one last thing that I wanted us to chat about. I love being prepared. I don't know if it's just my nursing background or I'm just being a mom of five. I feel like that's one of the things that I've had to learn how to do. And one of the things that really saved us when we sent our daughter to college is I built her own little like medicine cabinet. So if she got sick, if she needed me for something, like she knew she can. And I even wrote down, if you're feeling this, take this. If you're feeling this, take that. And she didn't have to buy anything the whole time that she was in dorms because I built that little cabinet. So let's build a little summer prep cabinet for our listeners, for our moms. What are some things that you feel like we should have on hand so that we're not having to run out last minute when our kids are experiencing some symptoms?
Yes, I love that, because being prepared with a great first aid kit medicine cabinet is so important. And actually, I had put together a first aid checklist for families that we take care of, just so that they can stay prepared at home too. And I'm happy to pass that along to the
viewer. Let's link that in the show notes for sure.
Because that's just so important. So obviously having some of those regular medicines on hand, a Tylenol or Genexa, acetaminophen product, ibuprofen, Motrin Advil product, you know, those are going to be for fever and pain. So those are really important to always have. An antihistamine, because let's say bee sting or bug bites, mosquito bites, things like that can cause an allergic reaction. We want to have Benadryl or Genexa allergy on hand as well. So that's one good antihistamine, or Zyrtec would be fine too. But just think an anti-allergy medication. Mm-hmm. In addition, you could have a hydrocortisone ointment, something to put directly on a bug bite if it was bothering your little one. I don't like specific stomach flu medicines. I don't want anyone to take Imodium or something that's going to stop diarrhea when your body is going through that. It's important to let it do what it needs to do, get something out of your system as opposed to stopping it. So we don't recommend that in kids, nor do we recommend products like Pepto-Bismol or things like that. It's better to just push fluids and replacement as opposed to medicating them when they have a stomach virus. And then moving on to think about, this is also the time of year when we're going to see more scraped knees, injuries like that, right? Like cuts and all those things from falling down and new activities. So making sure we have great bandages, ones that will actually stick and stay on. You know, the fabric ones do a better job than, say, the nylon band-aids. They just don't last, you know? So maybe picking ones that are a little more effective, and having good first aid supplies like We're going to use warm, soapy, gentle water to clean wounds when they happen. And we're going to have maybe larger gauze, bandages, and a wrap in case it's a bigger wound. And a good Neosporin or antibiotic ointment is helpful as well. You know, and
oh, this is great.
One other thing that families maybe don't think about is splinters, you know, just climbing trees and being outside and on the deck.
Oh, yeah.
And walking barefoot. Mm-hmm. So a nice pair of fine tip tweezers is also super helpful. It could save you a trip not being able to get a splinter out. So that's another thing that's good to have on hand. And then finally, if your kiddo has a history of asthma or any other long-term illnesses that they deal with on a regular basis, just making sure you have enough of it on hand that your inhaler is not out of date or expired, because chlorine can trigger asthma attacks. Different allergens in the environment in the summer can do that too. So just being prepared in case that should happen, you know, making sure those medications are on track and everything's up to date and not expired. That's another thing, because when you go to use it and it's expired, well, that's not helpful. So
yeah, when I was a pediatric nurse for medical foster care families, I would always send a reminder during this time of the year, because a lot of people do go away, and I would send a reminder like, don't forget to get extra refills or to get your refill on these things before you take your road trip or before you get on your flight.
Yeah.
So that's something for all of us to keep in mind. I usually will spend summers like with the little girls and some of the older kids, like in Dominican Republic, or we go other places. And I always ask our pediatrician to like load me up with the things that they normally use before I travel. You may not use it, but I'm always like, let's be prepared and maybe 100% to use it.
Yeah. Especially if you're leaving the country, you know, you don't know how difficult it will be to get those things that you need when the time comes. So whatever you equip this first aid kit with for your home, having a mini version that you can easily transport with you if you're traveling on a road trip or on a flight is a great idea. You know, having two sets of those medications, one that stays at home, one that can travel with you, is a really good idea too.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like when we are prepared, they don't get sick.
I know.
It's when you're not.
Which is pretty good, right?
Right. So definitely bring that energy on. Be fully prepared and have the Genexa and have all this stuff. And they won't even have a fever the whole summer. You're going to be like, well, I wasted my money, but who cares? So Jennifer, tell us, for those of us that aren't in Tampa, because we have a lot of listeners elsewhere, do you all provide digital services as well? You talked a lot about texting and so forth, but is that only for patients that are in the area that can access you that way?
So anyone in the state of Florida can take advantage of our services, regardless of where you're located. If you are a Florida resident and you're traveling, you can still take advantage of our services that are telemedicine provided. So if you're on vacation in California or even in Europe, you can still use our telemedicine services while you travel, which is also, just put that in your first aid kit too, which is our phone number in case you need us while you're
Yes. Yes, that is excellent. I know that we've added so much to everyone's toolkit, and we're going to link to Jennifer and the entire team at House Call for Kids in our show notes, as well as a list of how you can build your own little medicine cabinet in preparation for the summer. Thank you so much for lending your voice to this conversation. This was perfect. I feel fully prepared. So I feel so much better. And I hope that everyone listening does as well. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
That wraps up today's episode of the Motherhood Kit Podcast. I hope you found our discussion on summer illnesses informative and that we've added to your Motherhood Kit. I know firsthand how our child's health is paramount, especially during the summer months when we want to be free of sickies and super happy outside. Let's continue the conversation. I love to chat. Connect with me on Instagram at Yamel Belen or on TikTok at The Motherhood Kit. Your feedback is incredibly valuable to me. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider leaving a review on your preferred podcast platform. And don't forget to hit that follow button so you never miss an episode. Let's continue to hold hands in this season of motherhood. Until next time.